This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Now, I've got to the stage in my life where I have to put my glasses on to read and then I have to take them off to look at people. But due to the fact that as the morning's gone on, I've scribbled so many additional things onto my notes in order to pick up what other people have talked about, I'm going to keep my glasses on and not be able to see you. So if I look as if I'm gazing a bit blankly, I do apologise, but at least I can read what I've written, I hope. One of the things that's been really interesting for me at this event is that we've heard an awful lot about independent specialist colleges, and in a very positive way. A lot of people have talked about the opportunities that they bring. And it wasn't so many years ago where they were only seen as very expensive out-county, nothing to do with us. And I think what's happened, we are the Association of National Specialist Colleges, but what I think we also do is have a very strong local presence now. And not just because of this legislation, but certainly this has encouraged us to work even more strongly with local providers, local agencies, local organisations. We certainly know that we need to do the local, we need to do the regional, and some colleges still do need to do the national. So I'm just going to tell you a very quick little bit about NATSPEC itself. We're a membership organisation. We have 70-plus providers, specialist colleges, most of them, about 59, funded through local authorities by the YPLA, and the remainder through local authority schools' budgets or social services. And our colleges make further education provision for up to about 4,000 learners with complex learning disabilities, difficulties, whose needs can't be met locally. And I think it's fair to say that needs that can't be met locally in one area might be able to be met locally in another area, because there's a huge diversity in the general further education sector. And I know there are some very, very good GFEs, and I know there are some that are still struggling or who couldn't meet those more complex learning difficulties and disabilities. So learners are with us for a whole range of reasons. Could be to do with the complexity of their disabilities, additional medical conditions they have. They just can't cope in that very stimulating environment of a further education college. At one stage in my life, I used to do a lot of visits to GFEs. And if you go to a new GFE for the first time, believe you me, they're very scary. And you go into these depths of the college, long corridors, rambling places, students coming at you from all directions. They're pretty intimidating, scary places. And for a lot of our more vulnerable young people, they really are not going to be the environment in which they will flourish and achieve their aspirations. And of course, we're also in a position to offer very specialist learning support and additional therapeutic support through speech and language therapy, physios, OTs, who make up the teams in our colleges. So I think I want to be really clear with you that we're not there to take learners away who ought to be going to their local college. That's not what we're about at all. And I know Donald earlier said something about people being steered into residential colleges who don't want to go. I really hope not very many learners, if any, are in that position. I hope that's we're not full of people who are fighting to get out. My experience suggests that an awful lot more learners would love to come because it's a fantastic opportunity, frankly. And that mention earlier of social life that Barbara talked about being important for learners, great social life, and often for the first time ever, because if they've been in a special school and they've been bused there and bused back, and then there's no real local community of friends for them to engage with, actually being in a residential college for the first time gives you that level of independence and the ability to make friendships and to learn how to do that. So I think that's a great opportunity, and I think it's a real shame that more learners can't benefit from that. But we understand where we fit into this broad spectrum of provision. Right. NatSpec has a range of activities that we undertake. One is to provide information, support and training for our member colleges. We also work actively with a wide range of partners. NatSpec is an organisation with partners nationally, with React, with Skill, with NIACE, with all sorts of other people. But also our members, as I said at the start, are beginning to work much more proactively with a wide range of partners. And the provision they make outside of their core business, which is perhaps residential provision for a group, particular group of learners, are doing all sorts of exciting, innovative things with local authorities and developing interesting ways of putting together opportunities, additional opportunities for people, perhaps in conjunction with the local further education college, giving those learners the opportunity to have a residential experience for a short while. So there are lots and lots of things going on that maybe are rather different from what the old view of the specialist college was. They're not just there behind their four walls, inward looking. They're much more proactive, outward looking organisations. We also represent our members' interests to policymakers and funders, and we do that through very high-level strategic meetings, the DFE, LLDD advisory group that Barbara mentioned earlier. Donald's inbox probably is a very good example of me representing interests of members, in that I often feed back to him some of the concerns and the issues we have, and also, I hope, Donald, examples of really good things that are going on too. It's ever so easy, isn't it, to say, oh, it's not working here and it's not working there. But actually what we ought to be celebrating is that it is beginning to work in quite a lot of places and there's some good stuff going on. And we offer advice to support learners, their families and other professionals. And particularly, and Barbara, I know, said the Skill Helpline has an awful lot of calls at the moment. And I too get a lot of calls from parents who are saying, what's going on? I don't understand this new system. And like a lot of other people, there's a little bit of us also having to say, well, actually, 100% of it, no, neither do we. There's still a lot out there. We're still in a bit of a policy vacuum on certain things. Okay, so our colleges, I suppose the real focus of the working colleges is around those personalised learning programmes that are informed by learners' aspirations. And that really, for me, has got to be the starting point. When a learner comes to us, what is it? What is it? Where do they want to be? How are they going to use that short time in their lives to help them to move on to something that is actually going to help them to realise their aspirations, to achieve their ambitions? And we need to work really hard with learners to find out what those are. We have multidisciplinary staff teams who work together from the day learners arrive for their very first visit, through induction, through their learning programme, and out through as they transition into their next phase. And in a way, in a sense, I suppose, that multidisciplinary approach that we have in our colleges is a kind of microcosm of what it ought to be like out there for everybody. That all of those people are able to contribute, are able to put in support at the right stage, are able to be innovative and creative in finding solutions to what learners need. And I think that's, for me, perhaps the thing that really epitomises what we do best, is that multidisciplinary approach, that support that is able to look at the whole person, not just a bit of them. Most of our colleges are residential, and that's particularly helpful in supporting people towards independent living and being able to practice that for real, so that you might start out living on campus, but maybe by the end of your time in college, you're living in a small home in the community with two or three other students with some support. And that is, again, real life. Doing it for real is absolutely essential. We are also very good at technology. We have a number of technology exemplar colleges, and we use technology, I think, very creatively in two ways. We use the high street technology very creatively. You can do an enormous amount with mobile phones that everybody has access to. It doesn't have to be expensive, you just have to use it well. So, for instance, if you're learning to use the bus, you can take photographs on your mobile phone as you go along, and you know where you're going to get off. So you're not sitting there looking a little bit different from other people on the bus because you've got your mobile out like everybody else has, but you're just gradually working your way to the right stop. And I think that's great use of high street technology. We also, though, can make good use of much more sophisticated technology. I've got an example here of a young woman who uses the MITRE by eye gaze technology. That's used by RAF pilots to fly jet fighters by eye. Previously, this young woman had to hold her hand to enable her to communicate using a communication board. Now she can look at a screen, she can speak out messages, and she can also control her television and her music using the same sort of technology. So technology can be very exclusive and expensive and very much to that one learner's very specific needs, but you also need to make use of what's available for everybody because it really can open up independent opportunities to learners. We have a very strong focus on communication, and speech and language therapists, I guess, are fundamental in almost all our colleges because we know that that is the key for most of our learners to being able to live independently. And also in terms of being able to listen to learners and finding all sorts of creative strategies to find out what they want, to use, to gather their views, to act on their views. I think that's particularly important. Rather like data, it's no good just collecting it in. You actually have to say, what are we going to do about it? I always remember when I was at school, my headmistress, it was a very, very, very long time ago, set up a school council and said, you know, you can all come together, you elect your member, and you can make a decision about things. And the very first thing we decided, and she must have known this, is that we didn't want to wear school hats anymore. Now, if she'd said, oh, no, 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 that's outside of what I'm going to allow, we would have just thought, what's the point of having a school council if what we want to do isn't going to happen? And she very wisely allowed it to happen. And I did the same when I set up a college council in the college where I was a principal. And the first thing the students voted for was to get in a vending machine in the common room. And we did it. And it might not fit with Jamie Oliver's healthy eating, but if we just said, oh, no, no, we don't want that, learners would have thought, well, what's the point of asking us if you're not going to act on it? So listening to learners' views, but using it to move us on. And you've noticed that I haven't mentioned the Framework for Excellence Learner View Survey as an excellent way to gather in learners' views. We have to be very creative about doing that. So what I would say is that specialist colleges are the first and right choice for some learners. Not for all learners, but for some learners who can benefit from that multidisciplinary, consistent, coherent approach that we're able to offer. It's not a placement of last resort. So get it right for those learners who need it. Don't think, oh, nowhere else for them, they'll have to go there. Think about those few learners. It's a small number in the scheme of things, but think about those few learners who will really, really genuinely benefit. What I really welcome, and it's been on the cards for a long time, but it's taking a long time to get into position, is the fact that we're now looking at a funding system that will work across all colleges. We're part of a continuum, I think. There are those students with learning difficulties and disabilities in mainstream where a few minor adjustments allow them to access the course they want. And then there are a whole lot of other types of provision through general further education. And then there are specialist colleges for that small group of learners who would find any other provision difficult to access. And what I want to see is a funding system that goes across that whole range, that's absolutely transparent, that we're absolutely clear about where the money's going. So we stop saying, oh, that's just about expensive provision. We look at all the provision that we make in terms of the value that it offers to learners, the quality and the outcomes for learners. And that's where I hope we will be before too long. So I really want to support one of Donald's challenges about sustainability, reduced audit. Yes, please. We are audited by the minute, and I'm not joking. It's absolute nonsense. And inspection. I don't know the answer if we're going to have our outstanding providers not inspected or not. We're waiting to find out about that. So, in terms of the goals and achievements of our learners, as I say, we have a wide range of learners coming in with very different aspirations. Clearly, that leads to a wide range of learning goals, and inevitably, then, a wide range of achievements. I would really like to see a system that does away with repeated assessment by different people in different formats. I don't know what it must be like to be a learner going through the system sometimes. You must just feel, actually, I've answered this not just once, but 101 times to different people asking me for different reasons. Please let's see if we can't get something that's a little bit more seamless, a little bit more learner-friendly, that builds on what's gone before, that doesn't put people into rigid pathways. How many of you at 14 thought that you'd end up where you are now? Probably none of us. We don't want to root people down one road and say, oh, that's what you chose to do at 14. You can't possibly change your mind now that you're 25. But we want to build on what's gone before rather than repeat and repeat and repeat and write endless pages. What should really happen is that the information should carry on, and I think would provide us with a very good way of measuring success. We don't know really how to measure success. A lot of the measures that are out there now don't really work for our learners. If the dreaded S139A was well done by well-qualified people who understood the learners, and there was impartial advice and guidance, and the S139A suggested that these were the learners' aspirations and what they wanted to achieve, well, you can check that out at the end of their time in college. Is that where you got them to? And if you didn't, what did you do along the way that made you realise actually they needed to change that slightly? It needs to be an organic process, I think, rather than a set of papers that gets handed to you. Or not handed to you, as the case may be. And I think that's been a real problem too. S139As disappear into the ether, I think, on occasion. Colleges don't even know which of their learners are subject to a learning difficulty assessment. I also just want to make a very quick plea here. There is a temptation under the new funding mechanism for young people to be kept in school longer and longer and longer. I don't think that's right for many of them, because what we do know about further education is that it allows people to make that step into a more adult environment. They do have to grow up. When I worked in schools way back, that was one of the things that made me want to move into FE. I ran a 16 to 19 unit. These young people have been in the same environment for so many years. They had no opportunity to grow up, and they still were doing things in school that they'd been doing since they were four. So I think we need to acknowledge the role of further education in enabling people to become adults, to aspire to adult goals and outcomes. Somebody earlier talked about not forgetting what we know. I think it was Paul, but apologies if it was somebody else. Now, I'm a passionate believer in employment for people with learning difficulties and disabilities. I want to just read you something very quickly. The starting point for this work is a belief that employment is a legitimate goal for all learners. Those with disabilities and learning difficulties are entitled to the same range of opportunities to develop vocational skills as all other learners, provided they have appropriate access to learning and learning support. They can play their full part in the life of the college, the community, and the economy. And this is about a project. The project aims to encourage a decisive curricular change in provision for learners with learning disabilities and difficulties. Employment should not be seen in terms of bolt-on, but primary curriculum objective. Since the project began, employment opportunities in general, and for people with disabilities and learning difficulties especially, have narrowed because of the current recession. I wrote that for an FEU project in 1991, but I could have written it yesterday. I really hope valuing employment now works. I really hope that we do get more people with learning difficulties and disabilities into employment. I really wonder what happened to all the work we did 20 years ago. We have got to find a way of making that work sustainable. And we are back in recession. And they could well be bottom of the pile. Employment is a really important aspiration for many of our learners. But we have got to work very, very hard to sustain the work that's beginning again now. The follow-up project to the piece of work I did back in 1991, Job Coaching in Further Education Colleges, a discussion document. When you've been in the work as long as I have, there's an awful sense of it all coming round again. I think as soon as it gets to the third cycle, it'll be time for me to retire. So I don't want to be negative and pessimistic, but I also think we need to be realistic. We've tried and tried and tried, and we had some fantastic things going on 20 years ago, and I don't know what happened to them. My guess is that the FEFC Schedule 2J, which some of you may remember, put pay to an awful lot of that innovative work. So let's keep an eye on where the legislation is taking us this time to make sure it doesn't happen again, because it would be criminal and we would be letting our learners down for the second time around. So I think employment is a legitimate goal. I think there are many other legitimate goals for learners whose life experiences may have been very limited and will continue to be limited, and therefore will take a much longer time maybe to get into employment if that's right for them. So first of all, active participation in the community I think is a really legitimate goal for many of our learners. And that can include a huge, wide swathe really of activities. And part of that, for instance, could be learning to travel independently. And if they do that, that's a really, really good tick in the box for being on your way to employment, because we know that people who can't travel independently have huge problems in accessing work. So active participation in the community, for me, should be a very valued outcome for our learners. Living independently, and in particular, directing carers. Many students are not going to be able to live on their own. They will need support. Actually, it's quite challenging to direct somebody how you want something done, what you want to eat, where you want to be taken, how you want it done, how you want your personal care to be delivered. I think if we can skill people up to do that so that they can use their individual budgets effectively, we've really done an enormously valued job for them. I want to just wave about, and I hope if you haven't picked one up from the Natspec stand already, you will do so afterwards. A leaflet in which we've looked at a whole range of achievements of our learners leaving colleges. And they fall into a very wide range of categories, and I think they're truly inspiring stories. So do take a little bit of time to have a read through that, because it talks about young people who wanted to learn to direct their own care and who, through a programme that essentially focused on those self-advocacy skills and understanding your own needs, have enabled somebody to go and live independently doing just that. I think gaining appropriate accreditation qualifications is really important. What I don't think is important is gaining qualifications about whether you can make your bed. Actually, I'd hate somebody to give me to come and check out my ability to do all those kind of household tasks. The foundation learning, the QCF, the foundation learning qualifications there, I think there are some fantastic things now on the QCF, but you do have to be very careful how you use it and really think about what's of value to the learner. Does the learner understand the value of it? What will it help them to achieve in due course? I mean, I have seen a qualification on there which talks about your sex life. Any of you got qualifications for your sex life? Don't put your hand up if you have, please. It's not appropriate, though, is it? There are lots of things that we do with learners that they want to achieve that it's not appropriate to accredit. So let's really focus on what will be of value to them. Natspec's currently working with a number of our colleges and with a number of GFEs to develop some foundation learning units in how learners manage their own learning and all the skills that they acquire through that. So if you've got a learning programme which is actually about getting somebody into the college or stopping them behaving in a way that's inappropriate, you don't want a certificate because I stopped throwing chairs out the window. But what you could get a certificate for is all those negotiation skills that you've learned through that process of the learning programme you've been engaged with. And I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for this work, and we hope it will be on the QCF in a year's time, but we're trialling it in a range of colleges from September. And also, very quickly, two more foundation learning documents came onto the YPLA website 2 days ago with some really good costed case studies. So do go and have another look at those. They're not pushing it out terribly helpfully at the moment. You really have to search around, but they're there. I'd also, really important for some of our learners to move on to get further education and training. They've grown in confidence. They're clear where they want to go. They now know, because they've spent their last year in a specialist college actually engaging in the local GFE, and they feel more confident, they think that they can do a course in mainstream now. So that's a great opportunity. And we think that should be another equally valued outcome. Volunteering. We heard earlier that the voluntary sector is expanding. We know the government is keen that the voluntary sector should take a huge role. I think volunteering is a hugely successful opportunity for many of our learners. They grow in so many ways. There's a lovely story in this about a group of young people from one of the colleges who work as part of the National Trust conservation team, and they can get an award for that, and it brings them into contact with the public. So they could see that. Develops their social skills, develops their employability skills. It gives them a route so they could work at the National Trust wherever they end up. Or it could very much be part of giving them something really good on their CV for when they look for a job. And right at the end, I've put getting a job. And I hope you all know about the Valuing Employment Now strategy. All the job coaching opportunities, the stuff in foundation learning that can support people into work. And it is there, and it is an important and legitimate goal, for many learners, but I think we have got to find ways of recognising and celebrating many other different outcomes that our learners achieve that may be an end in themselves or that may be a stepping stone to something else as they mature, as they get clear about where they want to be. So I hope I've just given you a bit of a flavour of some of the work we do in our colleges, but what I also want to say, we do want to be part of this journey with you, whether you're from a local authority, whether you're from a school, whether you're from a general further education college. We see ourselves as being part of a whole continuum of provision that's about getting the best deal for our learners.